It's time for Batter Up, the definitive Atlanta Braves podcast with hosts Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson, giving you exclusive insight into our Braves from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Joe and Caleb.
Welcome into Batter Up on this Wednesday, June 29th. Caleb Johnson in with my co-host, Joe Patrick. Joe, how's it going?
I'm emotionally drained after that weekend, Caleb. I mean, it was crazy. Brother. This is going to be the Freddie Freeman podcast that we talk about. There's so much to diagnose with this whole situation. I feel like we're going to be like on the therapy bed, like, you know, just looking straight up, and we're going to be, you know, getting into some feelings, which were clearly on display from Freddie on Friday and throughout the weekend. And it was a very interesting, also, you know, something we haven't really discussed before when we've been planning for this show, was just kind of the reaction from Braves fans themselves. I'll be honest, I was a little tuned out on Saturday because I wasn't on Braves duty and I had other stuff going on, but it was kind of interesting. I noticed even his first at bat, he comes up to the plate and he does, you know, he gets the big cheer. They play We Are the Champions on the Oregon Forum, and he gets, you know, a very good ovation from the fans. But then the second he stepped into the batter's box, you heard some boos. And those kind of persisted throughout the weekend. But man, I mean, I haven't really experienced anything quite like that before.
You said you were going to be on the, essentially on the sofa, you know, having your therapist. Am I your therapist today? Because it's felt like this whole weekend is just, well, I say this weekend, it's Wednesday now, and it still feels like the weekend, because the Freddie Freeman hangover has now carried through to today. I said months ago, after that trade, it was like, all right, cool. Don't want to talk about Freddie Freeman anymore. I'm done. I'm good. Finished. Had all my thoughts. Nope. Of course not.
Here we are. June 29th.
Yeah. Still talking about it. But in fairness, I think after this, and for anyone listening who's going like, I'm so sick of this, hear us out. Let us get some thoughts out. And then, yeah, we probably legitimately won't talk about this guy until we potentially see him in the Dodgers later this fall.
Next time it would be a big story would be like in the playoffs. Hopefully.
Yes.
Let's hope that becomes a story.
Sure. That'd be great. Anyway, so in case you've been hiding under a rock for just the last week, Freddie Freeman comes into town. We talked about it in our last episode. We knew, you know, it was going to be a lot going into. I did a radio hit where I got asked if I thought there was going to be boos or cheers. I said a mixture of both. I thought there was going to be a mixture of both because there are definitely divided parts of the fan base and how they feel about this whole situation. And the moment came, and Joe's spot on, that I was not in the stadium. I was watching at home on TV. And you get all of the jubilant cheers, which were a lot louder than I thought they were going to be. And then you're right. He steps into the box and you get the boos. But before all that, before the actual playing on the field, we had to do this ridiculous charade.
It was like a soap opera, man, that day.
Of a press conference. And Joe, just before, because you were there at the press conference, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Before that, though, this isn't as much as I hate this word, this is an unprecedented situation.
It really was.
Because you're dealing with a guy who, as we've all heard, spent 15 years with the Braves, 12 in the majors, with the big club, and has this big relationship, goes to another team, does not get traded. That's an important thing that we'll revisit later. Does not get traded. He leaves in free agency, and he comes back within the same year. The biggest name or the biggest comparison that I've seen discussed when it comes to this similar situation is Albert Pujols, who left the Cardinals, went to the Angels, and did not see them again for like 6 or 8 years. It was an insane amount of time before Albert Pujols actually came back to St. Louis. So it was a very different situation. But Freddie Freeman comes back within the same year, just months later after this whole thing goes down. walks into the press room, and that is when the tears flow, but apparently we're supposed to believe the tears this time, and, you know, Freddie didn't believe tears last time. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Let me take everybody kind of in this. I was there, and I got to say, I feel very fortunate to have been there in person and kind of been able to take this all in firsthand. First of all, I'm going to say that press conference room, which is a big press conference room that the Braves have where they do their post game that you've probably seen on Bally Sports, where they sit, probably seats close to 100 people. It was nearly completely full. Like it was more full than some of the playoff games from last year. That's how big of a deal this was.
I was about to say, just for reference, on an average game night, you're talking 6 to 8 people in there at most.
Yeah. Literally, sometimes it's only Justin Toscano from the AJC, Mark Bowman from MLB, Dave O'Brien from The Athletic, and then like myself and 680 in the back by the molt box audio. And like that might be it. It's like really, you know, hardly anybody. This one was every single TV camera from, you know, the local TV stations, all that. And one of the things that just made me chuckle was Brian Snicker did his press conference right before Freddie, and it lasted all of about 90 seconds. And I think he answered one question about like Eddie Rosario, like taking fly balls or something, something completely irrelevant to the reason why everybody was there. So anyway, Freddie comes in and walks up. I mean, everybody's heard about this, but he walks up, gets about one step away from the steps to go up to the table, and then just like gets overwhelmed and leaves for a few minutes. Obviously comes back, and for the longest time was not lifting his head to look at the room. I think he was almost like, shame is not the right word, but it's something close to that. I think it was like a very sheepish kind of feeling that it seemed like he had. And he said that he was kind of almost like, I don't know, it was just going to make him emotional to look up and see Mark Bowman and Dave O'Brien and these guys that he's been talking to for, like you said, 12 years of his career. And in baseball, these baseball players, their interactions and their relationships with reporters is unlike any other sport, because they're talking to these guys like every day or every other day. Like they're in their lives completely for a good, you know, 8 months of the year. So these guys have a big time relationship with one another. So I think for Freddie, that was obviously an emotional aspect of all of this. But yeah, I mean, I think one thing that we might disagree on, and I mean, I'm not going to go into the press conference because everybody else, I'm sure, has heard it or, you know, heard the pertinent remarks, and I'm sure we'll discuss some of it here, Caleb. But I didn't see it like as being fake at all from Freddie. Like it seemed totally genuine from him. Maybe some of the answers, he was trying to be a little bit clever in the way that he answered them. I think we're going to talk about, you know, when he was the way he talked about the closure of the situation and things like that. Some of it like kind of didn't make sense. And I think that he was trying to manage what he knows to be the truth in his head and guard against like letting too much of that out into the public. But it's really hard to do that when you're that emotional. And so maybe for that reason, some things didn't quite make total sense at the time. But I took just the overall emotion that he was expressing as to being totally legit. That I thought the tears were like, you know, he was really wishing he was an Atlanta Brave, to be quite frank. And that's kind of what makes this situation totally bizarre and weird.
All right. I guess I should start with the fact of my issue lies within, like, this press conference should have never happened. I think that is my issue. I personally don't believe this press conference should have ever taken place. This guy does not play for the Atlanta Braves anymore. He's already spoken to the media, to which he kind of did rather clumsily. And, you know, it's kind of one of those is what it is. He had the press conference.
You're talking about the press conference when he first signed with the Dodgers? Is that the one you're talking about?
I'm talking about the one that was unnecessary is the one that happened Friday.
Yeah.
It's because like he had already spoken to media, whether through the press conference or, I mean, he had done he did the little Q&A thing with Mark Bowman, because Bowman tried to like clean up his image essentially after, you know, there he was asked about Anthopoulos crying and was like, oh, I saw it, you know, all that sort of thing. And then he realized he needed to clean up his image because, you know, we have to remember Freddie Freeman left at the same time that Matt Ryan was traded. And Matt Ryan got this huge celebration amongst the city and went through, you know, radio stations and TV stations across the city and did interviews and all this sort of stuff. And he got a big send off. While Freddie Freeman kind of got a see you later sort of thing.
Yeah.
Through some of his own doing, like Matt Ryan took out an ad in the AJC and did a whole thank you. And then Freddie Freeman, 2 weeks later, comes back and is like, oh, let me do a little thanks for the memories, everybody.
Yeah, but I think that something that we're learning now, partially because of this press conference and then also some of the media that he's done throughout the weekend, is that the situation with the Braves was such a whirlwind for basically all parties. And it seems clear to me at this point that when Freddie Freeman, when Freddie Freeman did his introductory press conference with the Dodgers and he talked about having seen Alex Anthopoulos' tears and not really having a comment on it and all that, that at that point, Freddie maybe did not know exactly what had transpired during the free agent negotiations with the Braves, because what's been reported since is that his agency, Excel Management, I think is what is the name of it, sent two offers to Anthopoulos. And if you're Alex Anthopoulos, you get these two offers and none of them are even close to what you are, you know, is in your ballpark, and you've been deliberating and you're in spring training. The season is starting, or is essentially already started. The preparation for it has already started. And you've got basically one guy, Matt Olson, who's out there, who's the guy who you can go to and trade for, but also other teams are going to be interested in Matt Olson. Alex Anthopoulos has to move quickly in that situation. And so that's the way that it kind of transpired. And I think that the impression that I get is that Freddie did not understand it to have occurred in that manner. It seems to me that he took it as Alex Anthopoulos just was like, well, clearly Alex Anthopoulos took those two offers that Excel Management made as the final offer that was on the table for them. Not really understanding that Freddie would have been willing essentially to go to a 5-year deal with the Braves in order to stay in Atlanta.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of things. One is the rumor that's Excel, like, essentially sent Alex Anthopoulos and put him and was like, you have 1 hour to respond, you know?
Yeah, the hour to respond. Yeah.
So there are, which those are just rumors. Those have not been confirmed, but it kind of feeds into the
overall. They have been reported,
story.
Though, by reputable sources.
Yeah, it kind of adds to the overall, like, confusion of the story. However, and Excel Management seems like it's not representing Freddie Freeman anymore, because that's the story of the week. And this is something that I said to you, Joe, before we started recording, which is part of the reason why we're talking about Freddie Freeman almost a week later after he played the Braves. He keeps staying in the news cycle. He keeps saying stuff, or his teammates are saying stuff, or he's making decisions that keep him in the news cycle. He is doing this to himself. I'm trying to figure out if he's doing this on purpose. And I know that goes full conspiracy brain mode of, you know, of things that he might try to pull off. And this is a conversation that we will have amongst this conversation. But I just say all of that to say, you know, the timeline is that the confusion of coming immediately off of the lockout. We're going to play baseball. Excel Management apparently sends this, you know, take it or leave it sort of deal. Freddie does not choose to get involved. I think that is an important aspect of this.
Totally.
It has seemed that at every turn of contract negotiations, it was Freddie going to his management and saying, well, this is what I want. And then his management, his representation going to the Braves. Now you go, well, that's how that should happen. Sure. However, it seems like there was not a process of management coming back to Freddie and saying, well, here's what the Braves are willing to do. It feels like that Freddie allowed, or Freddie chose, to not be involved in his contract negotiations beyond his communication with his own agents. And so his agents, sounds like they decided to put on their big boy pants and they thought, you know, they were really going to wheel and deal it and make a whole thing happen. And the Braves balked at the deal. And you're right. And they went and got Matt Olson.
And that's something that Mark Bowman reported in his notebook Friday morning that actually preceded this press conference was, I thought the language was pretty striking that Bowman included, and he's extremely well-sourced in this area. I have no reason to think that he's off the mark at all in reporting this story. And he bluntly says, if at any point during this, Freddie Freeman would have directly talked with Alex Anthopoulos, if those two ever had a direct conversation with one another, he would be in Atlanta. He would be an Atlanta Brave.
Yep.
Because he would have expressed how he truly felt about the situation. And you're totally right, Caleb. It is, and the other thing that Bowman says, to your point, is that it was a mistake from Freddie to not do that.
Yeah.
To allow his agents to run the entire negotiation process without Freddie ever having any direct input with the other party, in this case, the Braves. This is just a mistake from Freddie, and that mistake leads him to a current circumstance that he's now in that maybe I think it's clearly not his preferable place to be, and that's what makes it so awkward with his situation with the Dodgers now is, you know, now his teammates are like, well, you know, Clayton Kershaw says, like, we hope we're not second fiddle. You can't really blame Clayton Kershaw for saying that, and, you know, I'm sure he's not the only person who thinks that because of the way that all of this has transpired.
Yeah, I want to give credit to Justin Toscano from the AJC who went and talked to Clayton Kershaw, and he got the quote, which was Clayton Kershaw said, it was very cool to see Freeman's reception Friday night. He's obviously been a big contributor for our team, and I hope we're not second fiddle. It's a pretty special team over here, too. I think whenever he gets comfortable over here, he will really enjoy it. It was a good night for him on Friday. So essentially, Clayton Kershaw said out loud what I had said to you on Friday, like, and I remember we're texting. It's funny. I was sitting at a Mexican restaurant, having dinner with my wife, texting back and forth with you. And I was trying to be very selective because, you know, you're on date night with the wife. I'm trying to be, you know, paying attention to her, that sort of thing. But also like there are juicy details going on. And I'm like, it's one of those. I'm just like, I'm sorry. Like you don't understand. Like, I mean, she did understand it, thankfully, but it was just one of those, like, I got to get these texts off. Cause
that's so funny.
It's just one of those. Yeah. It was just like, this is wild that it's transpiring like this, where you get back to Freddie Freeman crying in that interview. And I think my confusion was I kept going back to, you weren't traded. This happened in free agency, you know? And I just, I have a hard time being sympathetic towards him up until a point of like, you know, I mean, this is just the closest, I guess, we in Atlanta have been to a player realizing he made a mistake and having to live with that mistake and now having to go on and convince himself it's not a mistake.
Right. And I think that's a large reason for the emotions that were on display, which is because Freddie now understands that he messed up and didn't assert himself the way he should have in those negotiations. We had that great text conversation that we were having that night. It was a little bit contentious because I think we were coming at it from different angles.
Yeah.
What I was saying was that, like, the Braves didn't really lose out in this situation, other than the fact that obviously, you know, you lose the, like, the prestige and the, you know, just a player of Freddie's historical caliber within the organization. I mean, that is a big thing to lose. But, in, you know, they were Alexanthopoulos did very well to replace a player of Freddie's quality with Matt Olson, who's, you know, doing great this year. We can get into him later, but the Braves aren't really like the losers here. The loser is kind of Freddie Freeman, who is now in a place that he doesn't want to be. Well, I say that. I mean, I'm sure he would disagree with that, but I mean, I think it's pretty clear.
I was about to say, now we can go to this one aspect of things, which is Freddie was asked by Zach Klein about closure and about this weekend when he played the Braves in Atlanta, if this was going to be a period of closure for him. And he went on to say, you know, I don't need closure. There's no closure needed because, like, this city is a part of my life. You know, this team is a part of my life. Like, I love this city. I love all of this. You know, I don't need closure. And it was almost like, I want to leave it open because, you know,
I want to get Adam Duvall come back. Yeah. Trade for me.
Well, and it's so interesting how things change in just a matter of days. You know, he hears his teammates, his teammate Clayton Kershaw is the one who came out and said what he said, obviously had other conversations with his teammates. You see the memes go out. You see the pictures of Freddie sitting by himself on the bench while his teammates are, you know, up. It's just one of those. So now we reach a point of yesterday, Tuesday, The Athletic getting this quote that says from Freddie saying, but there needs to be closure. It's time. I'm a Dodger. I'm a Dodger for the next 6 years, and that's where my focus lies. I'm going to continue and help win titles for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Joe, I say to you what I said before we started recording. That sounds like a man who's talking in the mirror, really trying to hype himself up. Do you remember a couple of years ago when the tape leaked of John Mayer recording himself in the mirror?
Yeah.
Giving himself like, you are strong. Yeah. You are talented. You like this sounds like Freddie Freeman in the mirror going like, you know, like that meme of the guy pointing in the mirror at himself going like, I am a Dodger for the next 6 years. You know, like, it is okay. It is going to be okay. I'm going to enjoy myself. Like, yeah.
I mean, that's the homework that your therapist gives you when you get up off this couch that we're on. He tells you to go, and for the next week, every morning, you do that for 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's just, it's unfortunate. You know, it's one of those, like, we're getting, like, well, actually, we've passed the point. We reached the point this past weekend of, like, it's sad now. Like, it's honestly sad because, like, I don't know if you want to add anything onto the end of this. It's fine, but I kind of wanted to go in the direction of, like, people are discussing the idea of a Freddie Freeman trade back to Atlanta. I need us all to understand something. That is not happening anytime soon. The Braves do not want Freddie Freeman back. The Braves won this whole thing, and it's now becoming even more obvious because they're getting the talented player that they're getting in Matt Olson, and they're watching, like, wow, emotionally, Freddie Freeman not doing too well. Also, I'm willing to go in a very precarious position of saying, like, Freddie Freeman, not good at handling things not going his way, not getting what he wants. Sorry. All right. Sorry.
I mean, this is probably it's a very unique circumstance that he's had in his career, for sure. I mean, he's never been outside of Atlanta in a playing wise. So it's definitely a new challenge for him that he's not had to experience before. And I think you can argue that it's affecting him this year. Like, his numbers are, they're not terrible, but, like, you would certainly expect more from him at this point. How many homers does he have now? Is he still on six?
No, he actually hit, it was like he hit two or three immediately the series with Atlanta. I'm trying to see,
Well, anyway, I mean, you know, it's definitely a weird situation for Freddie. I was joking with you. It was like, what would the Braves trade Matt Olson to the Dodgers for, like, Freddie Freeman and Gratterall or something? Like, that's kind of like what it would be.
Well, it's a very strange situation. So Freddie's got 8 home runs now.
Okay.
it's a strange situation where it's one of those, like, if the Dodgers were to call and be like, hey, you know, yeah, you're right. What if we did Freddy and you're right, you know, Gratterall and like another prospect? I feel like Alex Anthopoulos is going, thanks for the call, but no, yeah. I'm good.
Right. I know. And that goes back to where the Braves are with Matt Olson right now, which is they have a player who is arguably just as good and you know, with variability that happens in baseball, could very well have a better year than Freddie in any given year on a lesser AAV number for better years throughout his career, you know, and on a longer duration. It's just like, the Braves are in a great spot with the deal that they made to go out and get Matt Olson. It feels like a steal at this point, in my opinion, to, you know, basically give up as little as they did and get a player like him in return.
I was about to say, the thing to keep an eye on will obviously be, how does Shane Langeliers turn out?
Yeah.
If he
he was honestly the biggest piece of that trade.
Yeah. If he turns out to be like a Hall of Famer or something like that,
sure,
then you'll be sad about it, but then not really, because like William Contreras has kind of, you know, made you feel a lot better about that. And also, if you go, okay, the Braves traded, you know, say a Hall of Famer in return for Matt Olson, who could potentially have his own, like, I'm throwing very much extremes out there,
sure,
but you could end up in a situation where this trade looks relatively even, or if Shane Langeliers does not work out with the A's, then it's an absolute steal. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that's kind of where things are, because we knew about, I mean, I was Christian Pache, great kid, you know, wanted to see him do well.
Sure.
Is not playing particularly well for the Oakland Athletics. So
yeah, he's been terrible, honestly. And, you know, and to your point, like, you made the point with William Contreras filling the shoes, or making, soothing the pain of having to deal with a player like Shane Langeliers. Same thing with Michael Harris. And,
there we go.
And Christian Pache. I mean, Michael Harris kind of vaulted over Pache, and it'd be a lot more painful if you had to trade Michael Harris in that deal now than, you know, keeping Christian Pache. So I feel like the Braves made out like bandits with what they did to kind of get over this whole situation.
Yeah, it definitely feels strange. I mean, you're getting into, you're reaching the level of like the Dansby Swanson trade, when you get what did they give it? Shelby Miller, who fell apart entirely after they traded him to Arizona. So I think of along the lines of those types of trades. Obviously, we'll have to see how this thing plays out. But the main point being, yeah, the Braves have a really, really, really good first baseman right now. You put some stats in there for us to kind of discuss, just because I know Mark Bowman had kind of put
this from Mark Bowman.
He put it out there recently. Some big numbers that will really grab your attention, but also like the home runs are happening for Matt Olson
that's
now.
That's what's exciting.
That was, I mean, the doubles. So he's what? He leads the majors, 29 doubles, 41 extra base hits, is four less than Jose Ramirez, who leads the league. So he's first in doubles, which is actually right there up with Freddie Freeman, if I remember correctly. And then 41 extra base hits. And he's now up to, is it 12 home runs?
He is, yes, 12 home runs.
Okay. Yep. So things going pretty good. You know,
pretty.
Like it's one of the, like, that's why it's such a strange thing that I remember when, you know, me and you were kind of joking around about a Freddie Freeman trade. And I was going, no. I wouldn't put it past Freddie to get the conversation going of like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if when he came to Atlanta, it was like, let's just get the word out. What's the, you know, what's the vibe? What's the interest level? And honestly, the only way Freddie Freeman returns as a Brave is very much in a similar situation that's happening with Albert Pujols right now. It is a end of career, come back for a year,
play DH.
Yeah, DH, and you know, ride the bench and rah-rah, yay, tip your cap to every city as you have your retirement tour, and it's a wrap. That's it. It's not happening any other way.
And that kills Freddy.
Yeah.
That kills Freddy more than anybody, because... Yeah, well, just this whole weekend made it clear.
But see, Joe, this is why I want to pull my hair out, because I'm thinking, like, if you truly loved this city and this place that much, how did you even get to this point? How did a deal not get done previously? How did you not, you know, Freddie Freeman, how did you not ask more questions leading up to your final season under contract, when it was like, you know, it was all this, oh, well, we're going to table discussions, we're not going to talk during the season. Okay. And Joe, would you be willing to say that this whole debacle doesn't happen if not for the lockout?
I do think that the lockout was contributed to it, for sure.
Yeah, I think it played a massive part into it, because mm-hmm. of the whole idea. The league started and everybody hit the ground running, and it was like, mm-hmm. Decisions got to be made, got to go now. And that kind of is what led to speeding up the clock. And like you said earlier, of the Braves going, we can't get left holding the bag and not have a first baseman and end up having to pick up one of these, you know, old veterans and just scrape
coming off a World Series title and then like feeling like you're going backwards. The fan base would never forgive them, and nor should they have. I mean, like, they had to do what they did. The one thing that still kind of leads me to think that the lockout was a major contributor was something that Freddie Freeman said in his, I think it was in his introductory press conference with the Dodgers, where he said that he was surprised not to have had contact with Alex Anthopoulos throughout the lockout, which of course are the rules. During a lockout, the GM is not allowed to talk to free agents or players in general, anybody affiliated with a players union. But you know, maybe some GMs were doing this, and it was kind of one of those things that's like an understood like thing that, you know, players were cool with it. But Alex Anthopoulos had been slapped on the wrist for breaking some of these rules before, and so I think he was really minding his P's and Q's in this particular situation to make sure that, you know, because he probably felt like if it ever got out that he did have contact, then the book could be thrown at either him or the Braves organization.
Well, I was about to say, I remember in that same Dodgers press conference that it was almost, I can't remember the Dodgers GM's name, but it was almost, he almost admitted to reaching out to Freddie during that time, but they saved themselves and was like, you know, oh, Justin Turner, you know, called him up. And I think Dave Roberts was like, oh, yeah, like somebody was on FaceTime or on a phone call, and it just so happened to be that a bunch of Dodgers teammates were all around at the same time to be like, oh, come to LA, you know, come to LA. And that's another element of this that is so bizarre that, but it's fair, I guess, from Freddie's perspective of like this whole idea of going home and like, what is home? And is it really home when you haven't been there in over 15 years? And like, is, you know, it's just, it just makes me think of when you move out of your hometown, you know, and then you go back. And I go back to my hometown a lot more often than some others might, just based on the fact that's where my parents are. And, you know, and it's usually about once a week that I go and see my parents. And so I see things that are going on around the town that I grew up in, and it's kind of like, you know, oh yeah, that's interesting, or that's kind of sad that closed or whatever. But I can't imagine like not truly going back for 15 years, and then maybe it's not all what it's hyped up to be.
Yeah,
it's what it certainly seems like.
I think this weekend can dispel one rumor that I know had been floated around my friend group, my friend text message group a lot, which was that like Chelsea Freeman was at the bottom of all this, and like she wanted to move to LA to be a star. Like, that had nothing to do with it.
No.
In fact, she probably would want to have stayed as much as Freddie did.
That's what I I've had friends saying the same thing, and I was on the like, do y'all not realize she was a star in Atlanta?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like she as a athlete's wife ran the city.
Yeah.
She went to LA where she is one of the player wives. And I think that's another element of this too, Joe, with Freddie, is like Freddie was the king here. Mm. You know, like Freddie ran Atlanta. He went to LA and he is a Dodger. He is mm-hmm. one of the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. It is not like you just saw the graphic the other day that the Dodgers, who are hosting the All-Star game this year, throughout, Freddie Freeman is not on there. It's Mookie Betts and like Will
yeah,
Smith
that's right.
or something. You know, it's one of those like it was really strange. But and they even had some of the Angels players on there because it's all of this like, oh, it's all of LA. But like Freddie Freeman is probably, what is he, third or fourth on the list of biggest
probably.
Names?
Yeah.
Like,
he's a.
Yeah.
It's almost like a role player. Like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he is the.
Which is
Ozzie
crazy.
Albies
I mean, it's crazy to think
of
that.
The Dodgers.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's part of this whole thing.
And like, and he's just. And not just his stature on the team, but the way he's appreciated by the fans as well. By the fans, he's just like another big name, but the Dodgers get big names all the time. Trey Turner, you know, like these, they just acquire big time players all the time. The fans kind of expect it, I think, at this point because of how much of a track record the club has, as opposed to, you know, and again, to bring it back to why Freddie was emotional, but like he talked about going to his favorite breakfast spot with his son Charlie and like getting a standing ovation from the people in the restaurant, you know, the 9 or 10 people that were eating in there. Like, it's not like that anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that like he expects to like be, you know, to like receive a round of applause any, you know, anywhere he goes in public. But it just shows the difference in how much fans here revered him as a player and a person, you know, a person in this community. And he's just not that in LA. It's a totally different circumstance.
And if anything, this weekend made his life a lot more difficult in LA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he is not, he's going to have to work. It's not just it's not what happened in Atlanta where you're, you know, walking into a restaurant and getting standing ovation. In LA, I feel like he'd have to walk into a restaurant and tell people who he was, you know, and please support me. That's what this whole quote that he had The Athletic, you know, of it's time. I'm a Dodger for the next 6 years. That's where my focus lies. Like he's literally having to now work to be like, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I like it here. I'm ready. I'm ready to win. Meanwhile, on the opposite end of the spectrum, a guy who wouldn't walk into a restaurant and get a standing ovation or wouldn't have these big accolades, Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen was on the same like situation as Freddie Freeman. And we did talk about the dude once. I mean, he did get a quote.
Right.
I think Justin from the AJC or somebody talked to.
I was there with him Friday.
Okay.
He did his scrum Friday.
Yeah, but he was like excited to play the Dodgers.
Exactly. Yeah,
I want to beat him, you know, kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
normal kind of stuff when you are on a different team now, and that's what like because I want to be very careful. I want to be very careful that I saw some people talking about, you know, it's disgusting how people are making fun of Freddie Freeman. You know, he was vulnerable and you know, he shed real tears and he showed raw emotion. And that's something we should appreciate when we see from men who are typically, you know, the type to hold their emotions back.
Oh, boy.
I saw plenty of that.
Wow.
But it's one of those where it's just like, sometimes, though, you just got to like deal with your situation, you know, like I mean,
get a grip, man.
But that's what I'm saying, and that's why I keep going back to the like he wasn't traded. It wasn't like his team betrayed him and sent him off, and now he's got to live with the consequences. And you know, it's like he's still a major leaguer. You're playing for a really great team that you chose, like. All of this is just gets to
so,
a level of oh.
So between us, and this is going out to everybody who's listening, but between us, because when we were talking on that, in that to go back to the text conversation we were having Friday, sure. I also said, I was like, I appreciate the emotion from Freddie. I actually, you know, I think that the emotion that he was showing did express something that didn't need words, you know, like that was really true, but I would never go to the... I'll never criticize him because for like or the whole showing emotion, like he can't be criticized for that, because I agree that like the way that Kenley handled it was just like a very much like a normal athlete would handle
and
it.
Kenley spent a long time in LA.
Yeah.
Like that dude's been a Dodger for a long time, and I get a closer is not on the same level as, you know, the
sure
face of the franchise. I get that. I understand that. It's just you just saw two different ends of the spectrum, and it was just interesting. It was very interesting. It's unfortunate, obviously, with what Kenley's dealing with now, that he's got the irregular heartbeat issues. Yep. He's on the injured list. That's concerning. That's
apparently it's like it's just one of those things that happens to him. Well, because he's had some issues with these before. He's had he's had some surgery on his heart in the past, which again I can't remember the name of it, but it doesn't appear to be a big deal. And they even said they were like he will spend minimal amount of time. It sounds like after the 15 days he'll be coming back on the first possible opportunity.
I guess,
I feel like whenever you're dealing with a heart, it seems very serious.
Well, also, I guess it's one of those like, how does 15 days just fix that? You know, that's what I want to know. It's one of those. Did he get a little too excited on the mound at one point, and that caused an issue? Like, I was
reading Dave O'Brien's just short news article about this on The Athletic. I thought it was interesting. It was like, kind of just like digging back a little bit the past couple of days. Like, he experienced a stressful ninth inning against the Dodgers on Sunday. And then he was like, he also had his fastest pitch of the season on the Saturday, the day before, with a 98.2 mile an hour fastball. But I don't know.
It was
weird.
Very odd situation. Wishing the best. Hopefully everything is absolutely A-okay.
Yeah.
But just one of those strange things to deal with. Also, some matters of just kind of where are guys in their progress. Tyler Matzek supposed to pitch this week for the Augusta Green Jackets, low A Braves affiliate. They have a rain delay on Tuesday, and so he ended up not pitching, and I'm assuming they just decided to get him up out of there, that he's good enough, and now Tyler Matzek's been transferred to the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA, so he'll be given an opportunity to pitch and kind of get his footing there in AAA. He's given what they give him. I don't know how it works for pitchers, but I know for like everyday guys,
they have 6 weeks.
Okay.
They have a 6 week maximum rehabilitation stint.
Okay.
But for Matzek, I do not expect it to be that long. I think they've already said that for Soroka, they'll use the max, and same with Eddie Rosario.
Yeah.
Alex Anthopoulos seemed to indicate that they'll go the max, which is a month for a position player.
Yeah, 20 games, right?
Or 20, something like that. Yeah. But and then the other one to mention is Ronald Acuña, who fouled the ball off his foot. It was a whole big thing because the MRI, the scans, the X-ray came back negative. Negative being a good thing. Nothing broken, nothing, you know, no problems. But he was also like on a cart saying he couldn't put like any weight on his foot whatsoever. So he's going to miss this Philadelphia Phillies series, and they hope to be able to fly him out for the series following.
It gets to a point where I just go, like, I just throw my hands up in the air on some, like, come on.
Yeah.
Just for the fact of, I feel like we get like two steps forward with Acuña and then hit a level of like, oh no, we're back to having issues again. And I say that because when Acuña left the game and like had these issues, it was after, I think it was after Marcell Ozuna's home run in the eighth. And Marcell Ozuna comes into the, and I think this is when the TV cameras picked it up, that Ozuna comes in the dugout and he's like high-fiving everybody, and Ronnie is sitting on the bench and like gets up and hobbles over to give him a high five, and everybody's like, hold on, and because I did it at home, mm-hmm. I went, hold on, rewind, what was that, what's going on, that's really strange, you know, like it's one of those like, oh, maybe his leg just like went to sleep, and then yeah. No, we get that he actually handed his card over to Guillermo Heredia, who then went in for him the ninth. And then we find out after the game, the injury, the foot, the ball off the foot was in the third inning. Like, how did we go five innings of like, no, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. No, he can't play. He can't put any pressure on it. And I'm just like, come on. Like, I thought we were getting better about this. I thought we were getting better. And Ronald was telling us when he got hurt. And when he needed a break, and then we're right back here.
Well, hopefully he'll be ready to go for the Reds series.
Hopefully.
Braves have some revenge to exact on the Reds for taking 2 out of 4 to open the season. True. Before they got off to one of the worst starts.
I also just like, I don't want to see Mike Ford as designated hitter.
Yeah. That's Mike Ford, the classic like bad guy in a baseball movie.
He really is. He does look like that. I hadn't thought about that. That's so true. He's the like big burly guy who has played for 6 major league teams this season.
Yeah.
6.
This season.
6. He's been on 6 different teams. Yeah. And is batting like 170 something. I don't know. It's
he terrible. Looks like he like spits like do like a big dip spit at the pitcher while he's getting ready.
So true. Joe, anything? I can't believe we talked 30 minutes about Freddie.
Yeah,
Freeman,
it's wild. This is a wild one. A little different than what we normally do. We kind of went deep dive into this, but it called for it. You know, it was a special special time.
It was in my heart. You know, it was just one of those like. It's honestly, it's one of those. I put out on Twitter. I'm very excited. Myself and Garrett Chapman have a weekly show starting this Saturday.
Yes. 10 to 12.
Ten
to midnight.
10
Saturday.
To midnight on Saturday. I wish it had started last week, because when this whole Freddy stuff, I was just like, I was heated. I was ready to go. And I don't know if this ever happened to you, Joe, but are you just like not want to type it out or not want to put it on Twitter?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You're just like,
I hate Twitter. Never, I don't like to do anything on Twitter, honestly.
Never mind.
Unless my boss is yelling at me to post.
Well,
do more posts.
You've reached that boomer status. Okay, I'm not
I'm really blackballed. I'm like totally blackballed on Twitter.
It's the blue check mark, isn't it? You got the blue check mark.
Honestly,
like,
I got the check mark, and I was like, now I'm scared. Now I like don't even want to tweet.
Don't want to get
it's like this is what I worked for my whole life.
Or canceled. Or, yeah. that's hilarious. He finally gets up.
It's just too much negativity on. It's more the reading than the writing. But if I'm going to write something, then I'm going to see my timeline, which is terrible.
Fair enough.
But it is good for news. So
yeah. But that's I wish I'd been able to talk about this before. But thankfully,
this
I guess,
is good. I'm glad I was here for you to get it off your chest, and vice versa. I'm glad you were here for me.
We started. Yeah, we started this with like we both played the therapist role a bit.
right.
And just kind of getting it off our chest. What's going on with the Braves now? Obviously, they're in the middle of this series with the Phillies. Thankfully,
a grueling run. They have no off days left until the All-Star break. So 3 weeks, basically. 3 week stretch of baseball. Or maybe more like 2.5 weeks, I guess, at this point. But
yeah. Well, and
going to be a big time. They've got a big series coming up against the Mets kind of toward the end of it. That's going
to
be a big one. But some work to do in between.
Yeah. The big thing is, you know, all of these, your division rivals. Like, you got to handle your division rivals. Got to handle the Phillies, who, I mean, as much as Brian Snicker can say, is, you know, really tough ball club. Like, they fired Joe Girardi for a reason, because this team is reeling. They just lost Bryce Harper pretty much for the next 6 to 8 weeks or whatever with that broken hand. You need to sweep them. It seems pretty obvious. You talk about the Reds. The Reds is the team that never should have been able to beat the Braves like they did earlier in the year.
And three out of, gotta be three, or is it no, it's a three game series, so they could sweep that as well. I mean, they can keep this run going. I mean, I know like they had this stretch where they won the 14 straight, and then they had a tougher stretch here playing against the Giants and Dodgers, but I mean, now you've got winnable games again against the, you know, the Phillies, then the Reds, then you, it gets a little bit tougher, but then you've also got a series against the Nationals here before the break, so still a lot of winnable games here for the Braves. And I think that, like, you know, just really quickly, sorry, I want to go on one small tangent, which is that, you know, I've heard a lot of questions asked, like, did the Braves prove that they were a good team, or did they prove anything through this stretch of playing against the Giants and Dodgers? And I don't feel like they did. I mean, I feel like the Braves got right. They became themselves during this 14-game winning streak, and that in and of itself proved that they're a good team, because a bad team cannot go on a 14-game winning streak. Like, you have to be a good team to be able to do that, even if you're playing against poor teams. So I fully expect this team to continue to roll. I think that they're in a moment of the season right now where they've found consistency with the starting pitching, especially we've seen improvements from guys like Charlie Morton and Ian Anderson becoming more consistent. And so I just expect this to continue. They might not go on another 14-game winning streak again this season, but certainly think they just need to keep on picking up series. And if they do that, they're going to recover this division.
The 14-game winning streak showed me this team was good all along. They just weren't playing up to their caliber.
Yeah, like that exactly,
was the, that was the whole thing. Is it was just one of those. You know, I remember having so many conversations with you or other people early on, and you know, people, oh, should Snit do this, or should Snit try this, and should they try this, and should they do that? You know, all of these sorts of things. And fair enough, they went and got Michael Harris. Like, they brought up Michael Harris. They brought up Spencer Strider. They made some changes. They made
definitely
some changes,
helped.
But
yeah,
ultimately,
yeah, for sure.
Ultimately, the core of this group started playing better. Mm-hmm. And that is why they started winning games. Mm-hmm. And now you've reached a point where you don't have to, you know, you don't need another 14 game winning streak. Just keep winning series.
Yeah.
Keep winning series up until up through the All-Star break. You win almost every series, because bad baseball happens. You're going to drop one of these series at some point.
Sure.
Hopefully not to the Mets, but keep winning series, two out of three, that sort of thing. Sweep a team if you want to, that'd be even better, and you're in perfect shape. If you're around four games behind the Mets, if you close that gap, if you surpass them, just somewhere in this general area, you're perfectly fine for the second half of the season.
Yeah,
I'm not
totally
worried. I'm not concerned at all. However, you know, just don't
what's going to be interesting is after the All-Star break, there's two more series against the Mets in relatively short order. So that's like those games against the Mets are going to feel like playoff games, I think, and which is really fun. I mean, that's exciting for that to happen, because these two teams, I continue to think the Mets are just not going to go away like they did last year, especially with some of the, you know, the pitchers that they've got coming back in DeGrom and Scherzer. So it's going to be a tight race, but it's one I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely. And, we'll see where we are a week from now. And, you know, if we're still feeling this positive about things, you know, it's been fun to kind of come the last couple of weeks, and everything hasn't been perfect, and you lost the Dodger series, but no panic.
Yeah.
Everything feels.
That just, you know, that didn't even feel like a lost series as much as it just felt like great baseball. And it was like, that was a playoff atmosphere, I think partially because of Freddie, but like, and yet, so you had packed out stadiums, but it felt like a playoff baseball all weekend long, which was so fun.
Absolutely. Well, anything else you want to get to before we get out of here, Joe?
That's it for me, Caleb.
Cool. Well, thanks everybody for listening into Batter Up. Catch us next week. For my co-host, Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Have a good one.